The boy dropped his hand onto my leg under the table. I felt my stomach knot with excitement. The boy, no hotel. I pushed 5 pesos to a grill. An old man unlocked the door of a room and dragged a ragged towel on the chair. You carry a pistol? Asked the boy. He had caught sight of my gun. I said yes. I folded my pants and dropped them over a chair, placing the pistol on my pants. I dropped my shirt and shorts on the pistol. I sat naked on the edge of the bed and watched the boy undress. He folded his worn blue suit carefully. He took off his shirt and placed it around his coat on the back of a chair. His skin was smooth and copper-colored. The boy stepped out of his shorts, and turned around and smiled at me. Then he came and sat beside me on the bed. I ran one hand slowly over the boy's back, following with the other hand the curve of the chest and down over the flat, brown stomach. The boy smiled and lay down on the bed. Later, we smoked a cigarette, our shoulders touching under the cover. The boy said he had to go. We both dressed. I wondered if he expected money. I decided not. Outside, we separated at a corner, shaking hands. And afterwards, the characteristic post-coital conversation. Elizabeth lies naked, resting on my arms. God, it's been a long time since I last got fucked. So long, I don't even want to say. That's why you must have had so much trouble getting my diaphragm inside me. I'm so tight. Nah, that's my fault for not having a condom. Now, this is 1981 and condoms are just coming back into use. More out of fear of the herpes epidemic than AIDS, which few people besides Big Mike had even heard of, much less experienced in clinical practice. You know, I tried to fuck Tomoko, the Japanese exchange student. We were getting all hot and heavy, but she had absolutely no idea what we were doing. She's Kevin's girlfriend, but I really want a piece of that ass. Well, to tell the truth, I've lost it in my heart for Michael Holdeman, but he's already confessed that a bunch of guys from the college have been hitting on him lately, and it's starting to annoy him. He goes, why is it that as soon as someone comes out of the closet and says he's gay, the first thing he does is to try to fuck me? I think I know I've been kind of coming on to him, so I guess I'll have to lay off him for a while. Hey, if I was a gay man, I'd try to fuck him too. He's gorgeous. I can't blame you. He's fucking Leslie Thomas right now, isn't he? All this talk of gay sex is giving me a second round hard-on. Elizabeth climbs on top of my pelvis, impaling her wet pussy on my fresh boner. I grab twin meaty handfuls of her big, fat, juicy ass and begin pistoning in and out of her wide open cunt as she licks my lips over and over again with flicks of her moist serpentine tongue. I pull out at the last second and cum all over her ample buttocks. That's the advantage of unprotected sex. I say my farewells to Elizabeth, head uptown to Washington Heights campus of Columbia Presbyterian on the long, disgusting ride on the IRT train.
Sproles from Junkie.
Right. All right.
And Big Mike.
And Big Mike.
From Girlfriend Part 2.
Yeah. Thank you for clarifying that for us, Big Mike. And next, I'd like to change in the program. I'd like to invite up Roxanne Hoffman.
Yay!
How's everybody doing?
Good.
I'm also going to be reading some William S. Burroughs, and the piece I'm going to be reading is called The Mummy Piece, which was published in Word Virus. The William S. Burroughs reader from Grove Press in the year 2000. good morning. The most arbitrary, precarious, and bureaucratic immortality blueprint was drafted by the ancient Egyptians. First, you had to get yourself mummified, and that was very expensive, making immortality a monopoly of the truly rich. Then, your continued immortality in the Western lands was entirely dependent on the continued existence of your mummy. That's why they hid their mummies real good. Here's this plain G.I. Joe. He's got enough baraka to survive his first physical death. He won't get far. He's got no mummy. He's got no names. He's got nothing. What happens to a bum like that? A nameless, mummyless jerk. Why, demons will swarm all over him at the first checkpoint. He'll be dismembered and thrown into a flaming pit where his soul will be utterly consumed and destroyed forever, while others, with sound mummies and the right names dropped in the right places, sail through to the Western lands. There are, of course, those who barely squeeze through. Their mummies are not in a good sound condition. These second-class souls are relegated to third-rate transient hotels just beyond the last checkpoint, where they can smell the charnel house disposal of shit from their skimpy balconies. Might as well face facts. My mummy is going downhill. Cheap job to begin with. God! Maggots is crawling all over. Way that demon guard looked at me this morning, transient hotels. And here you are, in your luxury condo, deep in the Western lands. You've got no security. Some disgruntled former employee sneaks into your tomb, throws acid on your mummy, or sloshes gasoline all over it and burns the heck out of it. Oh! Mummies are sitting ducks. No matter who you are, what could happen to your mummy is a pharaoh's nightmare. The dreaded mummy mashers and grave robbers, scavengers, floods, volcanoes, earthquakes. Perhaps a mummy's best friend is an Egyptologist, sealed in a glass case, kept at a constant temperature. But your mummy is not even safe in a museum. Here come the air raid sirens. It's the Blitz. For Ra's sake, get us into the vault, scream the mummies. Without a throat, without a tongue, anybody buying in on a deal like that ought to have his mummy examined. Let me tell you a secret I just overheard. Now don't you repeat it, 'cause mum is the word. That man in a casket 6,000 years old is buried with rubies and pieces of gold. They wrapped him up tightly to keep him preserved, 'cause he was a pharaoh, they thought he deserved to take it all with him wherever he went. But all of those riches could pay lots of rent. Now don't you repeat this, 'cause mum is the word. Shh, this here is a secret that you never heard. The guards watch him tightly, but I have observed when shifts switch nightly, no one's too concerned. If we tiptoe lightly, well, you get my drift. We could stroll out nightly, quite laden with gifts. Just think of the fortune one visit could bring, 'cause we're talking treasures reserved for a king. Nobody would miss them, 'cause dead men don't squeal, especially mummies all wrapped up and sealed. Now don't you repeat this, 'cause mum is the word. This here is a secret
that you never heard.
So that was second helping of William S. Burroughs from Big Mike and from Roxanne, plus some of their own. And now we will have Richard West, who will be reading from Thule Kupferberg. And I hope you tell us a little bit about Thule while you're up here.
Speaking of the Egyptian Book of the Dead, one of the real good things about it was they asked you two questions. Did you find joy in this life? And did you bring joy to others? Well, anyway, Thule and I used to collaborate a lot, and I put that into this little bio for him. I'm going to pass this out so I don't have to talk much about him, because I put everything that I found, the most vital things about him, if you don't know his work. But we're all here of a vintage age, so you probably all know the Fug stuff, right? I'm going to pass this around, okay? So everyone can have one of these things. You'll find some very interesting things about Thule. Some of these things you know, some of these things you won't. There's a lot more. He's a really interesting person. This is your flight, Captain. We're cruising at an altitude. And here on Air Cannabis. Oh my God. Look out the window, folks. It's the summer solstice coming up upon us. Well, that's a kind of a positive way to put it. But Thule was like the eternal pessimist. So I'm going to do one of his best pessimistic songs called Nothing, but bringing it up to an update. You know the words, right? It goes, you know, Monday, nothing, Tuesday, nothing, Wednesday and Thursday, nothing, Friday and Saturday, a little more, nothing, Sunday, a whole bunch of nothing. Well, that's the refrain. But today we have new priorities. Cupcakes, nothing, tattoos, nothing, royal wedding, nothing. Snobs, nothing, hip hype, nothing, cigarettes, less than nothing, Ayn Rand, nothing, neocons, nothing, Tea Party intelligence, nothing, guns and religion and all that there is in. Trickle down economics, nothing. Home mortgages, nothing. American dream, nothing. Wall Street reform, nothing. Another bubble will do us double. Rich people, they pay nothing. Ice caps, nothing. Land mass, nothing. Ecosystems and forests, nothing. They won't make a distinction for an all species extinction. Planetary life could be nothing. Trouble, trouble. We don't need this trouble. You want to clap, you can, or join in. We can have a little of our communion here. Greed came raking all over the land. Timid knowledge hardly made a stand. Extinction is daily on demand. The balance of life is out of hand. Trouble, trouble. We don't need this trouble. Hate, prejudice came raging all over the land. Hate became its foul command. One person's faith is another's fable. One person's myth slowly comes stable. Anger hung out with his old friend Pride. he thought would turn the tide. But pride got smug and did preside, and when greed showed up, all did collide. Trouble, trouble, we don't need this trouble. While the city sleeps, the viper creeps. In the desert of the mind, the angels weep. Adolescent to destroy and hate, harder to build and create. Man is the paragon of the beast. Most of the earth has become his feast. Man has evolved with such distinction, taking us to the brink of mass extinction. Trouble, trouble, we don't need this trouble. Trouble, we don't need this trouble. Trouble, trouble be gone. Trouble, minds are a-moving, a new spirit's gonna be born. Those who know do not say, what can be described is not the way. Keep your hand on the plow, hold on. Come on, clap. Pretend it's an old Negro spiritual. So we all agree about this. Your spirit never will be set free, ruled by ideological rigidity. Keep your hand on the plow. Oh, hold on. Oh, hold on. Oh, hold on. Keep your hand on the plow. Hold on. Fundamentalists, they preach so well, they think they'll give us heaven if they bring us hell. Keep your hand on the plow, oh, hold on. The game is dire jeopardy, think that God's chosen deputy. Keep your hand on the plow, oh, hold on. Oh, hold on. Man on Eve, but Adam's snake was not up his sleeve. Keep your hand on the plow, hold on. Living on earth has taught me well, we create heaven and we create hell. Keep your hand on the plow, hold on. Everyone, hold on. Church. Thank God I'm an atheist.